You are tuned to CICK News on 93.9 FM in Smithers. CICK News is your news source for regional and provincial news Tuesdays and Thursdays at 8 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. It's hosted by Dan Messick and myself, Pamela Hassan. Find and follow CICK News online at smithersradio.com and frequencynews.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. CICK News is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada and the Government of Canada.
Today on CICK News. Last week, the House of Commons voted unanimously to pass Bill C-58, an act to amend the Canada Labour Code to include anti-scab legislation, and you heard that correctly, unanimously. A huge legislative anomaly given the history of such a contentious issue. The anti-scab legislation, that is when companies, and in this case, the federally regulated companies, use temporary workers during a strike. The bill heads to the Senate, which will be debated over the next 2 weeks. Today, we speak with the Member of Parliament for Skeena-Buckley Valley, Taylor Bacharach, about the vote, what it means for the future of labor relations in Canada, and why all the parties decided to agree for once on this one. Stay with us.
Taylor Bacharach, I'm the Member of Parliament for Skeena-Buckley Valley, and right now I'm tucked in a little soundproof booth just off the House of Commons here in Ottawa.
Wonderful. Thank you, Taylor, for being with us again on CICK News. We wanted to chat today about the anti-scab legislation that just passed in the House the other day, Bill C-58, and it's on its way to the Senate. Maybe firstly, you can give us a little bit of a breakdown of the legislation and why this is such a substantial piece of law that is now passed in Canada.
This is a relatively simple piece of legislation, and it does something that's very important, which is that it prohibits the use of replacement workers, also known as scabs, in the cases of strikes and lockouts. So, you know, when workers decide to go on strike, this is a tough decision. It's not a decision that any worker takes lightly. It impacts people's income and impacts their families. It's a really stressful time. And workers only go on strike when the collective bargaining process, when the negotiation with their employer is not able to secure the gains and the fair treatment that they deserve. And what we've seen across Canada and throughout history is that in certain circumstances, employers respond to strikes by bringing in other workers to do the job of those unionized workers that are on strike. And when employers do that, they undermine the collective bargaining rights, the labor rights of those workers that have made the decision to withdraw their labor. So it's really a fundamental thing, and it goes right to the heart of these constitutionally protected labor rights that workers enjoy in Canada. And so this bill basically prohibits the use of replacement workers or scabs in the case of strikes and lockouts. And that's going to give workers a lot more ability to negotiate strong deals with the employer, to make sure that their rights are respected, and to better their conditions. What we've seen throughout generations is that the collective bargaining process has lifted up Canadian workers and resulted in improvements to their standard of living. It's resulted in better workplace safety. All of these things that many workers today take for granted were won, they were hard won, as a result of that collective bargaining process. So Bill C-58 adds one more protection that will ensure that workers get a fair shake with their employers. And it can't come at a more important time. Like right now, working people in Canada are falling behind. We saw coming out of the pandemic that the wealthiest in our country increased their wealth substantially. The biggest corporations in the country are posting massive profits, and working people are seeing their economic power diminished by inflation and by a lack of negotiating power. And so hopefully this legislation is going to result in them gaining some of that back.
Yeah, you say hopefully, and I also noticed that from some of the reaction of the unions in Canada, especially from the Unifor National President Lana Payne, saying that this is a great step forward, but they want to make sure that this legislation is actually passed and it makes it through the Senate. What comes next in making sure that this actually does happen?
Well, I haven't heard any indications that it's going to get bogged down in the Senate. So hopefully the Senate passes this bill in short order. After that occurs, it's going to take 12 months from when it's passed into law until it actually takes effect. And that's so that the Industrial Labor Relations Board is able to put some processes in place. One of the things that the bill sets out is a process by which the union and the employer have to sit down at the beginning of a strike process and work out an agreement around the maintenance of certain activities that are required for health and safety, for environmental safety, that kind of thing. And what we've heard is that that process is going to take some time to establish. We want the bill to come into effect as soon as possible. We think that 12 months is too long. But this is what we could essentially negotiate with the government. Originally, they wanted an 18-month process for the bill to actually come into force. And we were able to push them to 12 months. But at this point, that's what we're working with. So that's the goal. Get it through the Senate, set up these processes, and then it's going to come into force. And after that date, if there's a strike or a lockout, employers won't be able to use scabs. And right now in Canada, there are employers, like in the case of Videotron workers in Quebec, there are employers that are bringing in scabs and undermining the rights of those workers. So this can't come soon enough. This is going to benefit people in a really direct way.
One thing that stood out, of course, Taylor, with the vote was that it was unanimous. There was 317 votes, I believe. This sounds like a rarity. Why do you think all the parties supported this, knowing that some of the parties haven't supported this previously when it's come up, but this one, everybody was on board?
Yeah, it's a very interesting political dynamic. And make no mistake, the Conservatives do not like this legislation. I listened to the debate at all stages in the House, and at every stage, their members spoke against it. And then when it came to the vote, somewhat surprisingly, they ended up supporting it. And there's only one reason for that. And the reason for that is that unionized working people across the country know that this bill is something that they need. This is going to make their lives better. It's going to protect their rights. And they're looking very closely at which parties are supporting it. Now, the Conservatives are trying to cozy up to organized labor, despite having decades of voting record that indicates exactly the opposite, that they don't support workers' rights. But, you know, there's an election on the horizon, and they want to ensure that these workers are taking a second look at their party. So I think really it came down to pretty crass politics. But if you look at the record, for instance, of the leader of the Conservative Party, he has voted against anti-scab legislation every single time we've brought it forward. The NDP has been working on this project for 15 years. We've brought forward anti-scab bills in the House of Commons 8 times. And every single time we brought forward that legislation, both Conservatives and Liberals voted it down. So, I'm very glad that for whatever reason, the political conditions arrived where the bill was able to pass to the House. This is a really historic win. It's something that wouldn't have been possible if not for the work of organized labor in Canada, if not for the work of successive NDP caucuses that have worked on this project. And yeah, it's going to make a big difference. It was quite a thing being in the House of Commons when the vote passed and seeing the gallery full of people who've spent a good deal of their lives working for this change.
One other thing for you, Taylor. You know, there's been strikes here in your writing before at the aluminum smelter. in Kitimat with the Unifor local there. There's also, looks like there possibly could be a strike coming up at the Gibraltar mine in near Williams Lake. What is this legislation going to do to maybe curb some of this, knowing that, you know, this is very fluid? There's still lots of unions that are trying to push back with bargaining. But up until the next 12 months, until this law comes into play, they're going to have a struggle. So, you know, what are these unions going to do before this comes into effect, and what can possibly be done now?
Well, I think that the votes in the House of Commons send a clear message to employers that Canadians will not tolerate the use of scab workers. British Columbia and Quebec, by the way, already have provincial legislation prohibiting the use of scabs. So this legislation we've passed through the House of Commons deals specifically with federally regulated workplaces. So that includes things like railroads, ports, the air sector, those telecommunications, banking. Those are all examples of federally regulated sectors that would be affected by this legislation. And hopefully those employers that are in negotiations with their unionized employees are watching this process closely. And they're seeing the unanimous vote, and they're understanding that they got to stay at the table. They need to negotiate with good faith and hammer out an agreement with their workforce at the negotiating table, because that's where the best agreements are arrived at. We've seen that time and time again. When employers choose to use scabs, it makes the picket lines more dangerous. It makes the labor disruption longer. And in general, it contributes to a worse outcome. So we're very hopeful that the change that this bill represents will start to take effect even before the bill comes into law, because I think it sends a message that this is where we're going as a country, that we want to uphold the rights of workers, and that we want employers to negotiate in good faith.
All right, Taylor, we'll leave it there for now, but thanks so much for giving us some insight on the issue.
My pleasure, Dan. Great to talk to you.
That was Member of Parliament for Skeena-Bulkley Valley, Taylor Bacharach. Coming up next, my conversation with Martin McElrath, President of Local 2301 of Unifor in Kitimat.
Hi, my name is Martin McElrath. I'm the President of Unifor Local 2301 here in Kitimat, and we represent all of the bargaining unit members, bargaining unit workers at Rio Tinto Alcan here in Kitimat.
Great, Martin. Thanks so much for being with us here on CACK News. Of course, as I mentioned, you know, we just got the news last week that the federal government has passed in the House of Commons an anti-scab legislation bill, C-58, that looks like it will ban temporary workers when a strike does happen under federally regulated companies. But we've also seen, you know, this happen in the province, and we've seen some strikes and also continued labor struggles across the country. And I wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, what does this mean to you and some of your local members, and maybe in general for labor relations in Canada going forward?
Well, I think the federal anti-scab legislation that was passed is great news. I think it's, you know, a lot of work that our union has been doing to advocate for this to occur. I think it's the labor movement in general for decades has been waiting for this to happen, and it's really good news. And it further you know, recognizes our right to bargain in this country, and it will actually prevent, in my opinion, prevent labor disputes from lingering and going on too long.
You know, as we've seen in the past, strikes can obviously have, you know, a huge impact on workers and companies and, you know, our collective economy, but it can also have a big impact on communities. What does this do to ensure that if there is issues coming forward and strikes do occur, what does this reinforce for a community like Kitimat that has been so tied to industry and to some of these big companies and these big outlets like the smelter and soon to be an LNG plant?
Well, I mean, the legislation that got passed is in federal workplaces. So the anti-scab legislation is for federal workplaces. So anywhere that's under federal regulation, this will help get people back to work sooner and deal with issues at the table rather than employers being able to use replacement workers, which really delays the dispute mechanism, from coming to a resolve in a timely manner. So what this does is focuses on getting people back to the table where, you know, the proper agreements are bargained. As far as for places like my workplace, which is, you know, regulated under the labor code in British Columbia, it doesn't really change anything for us. But what we're hoping it does is basically spark some interest in revamping the anti-scab legislation in British Columbia, because even though we are one of only two provinces to have anti-scab legislation, our anti-scab legislation is very weak. We refer to it as Swiss cheese. There's so many holes in it that you would honestly think that we don't even have anti-scab legislation in this province, because when there is a labor dispute, there is so many different mechanisms where the employer can still use replacement workers under certain situations that has an effect on any labor disputes in British Columbia, because, again, in my opinion, it causes the labor disputes to drag out longer than they need to.
I just wanted to touch on that as well. You're right. You know, we do have anti-scab legislation in British Columbia. Quebec is the other jurisdiction. But as you mentioned, they're not a silver bullet. So what would you like to see be strengthened in that legislation here in British Columbia?
Well, I'd like to see it where, you know, ultimately, it would be great if you could have, if there would be no possibility of having any replacement workers during a dispute whatsoever. I mean, that would be the ultimate goal. And then from there, basically, if that's not a possibility, is tightening up the legislation in British Columbia. Right now, it's far too loose. There's way too many opportunities for the employer to be able to use replacement workers in some fashion. I'm sure people would argue it's not really, you know, a replacement worker, but at the end of the day, if somebody's in there doing our bargaining unit work, we view that as a replacement worker. So I know in our last labor dispute, it was very hard to sit back and watch from the picket line to watch different contractors being allowed to enter our plant on a daily basis in high numbers. So if we had proper anti-scab legislation in this province, that wouldn't happen, and we wouldn't have had to endure a 69-day labor dispute. We would have been able, in our opinion, to get back to or get the employer back to the table sooner and resolve our issues and put an end to the labor dispute.
We did speak with the local MP for Skeena Buckley Valley, and he had mentioned, you know, one thing that stood out, what he had mentioned was that it's dangerous. A lot of the times, if you have, you know, scab workers, temporary workers that come in, that cross the picket lines, that it causes a lot of undue conflict. You know, has that been part of your experience? What are your kind of thoughts on, you know, seeing some of this legislation in BC being strengthened now with the federal legislation, making it safer for picketing, striking workers?
Yeah, of course. I think that anywhere that there's a labor dispute, if you have people that are crossing the picket line and scabbing, I mean, that's obviously always going to cause a conflict, right? People who do that, it's just a direct conflict with our workplaces. And so, and then there's also the health and safety aspect of it as well, because when you get replacement workers going in there to perform bargaining unit work, they're not familiar with the work sites, they're not familiar with the health and safety regulations in a lot of cases, in our opinion, and it just, you know, it's a recipe for disaster, no matter which way you look at it. And our MP for Skeena Buckley Valley did a great job. Taylor did a great job advocating for this as well.
Okay, Martin, we thank you so much for your insight on this, but we'll leave it there for now. And definitely, if this developing story continues, we'll touch base again.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Take care.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.